In our series on the new birth, we need to touch on the issue of the blood of Christ. Because just as many are taught that they have received the Spirit before they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so there are many who are taught that the blood of Christ washes their sins away before they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost or before they receive the Spirit. We need to look then at what the revelation of God is concerning the blood of Christ. Let's start reading in John chapter 6, where Jesus is talking to a group of people, and he began saying in verse 48, "I am the bread of life." He said in verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." Then the Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How is this man able to give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I am living by the Father, so also that man who eats me shall live by me." It says in verse 60 that when many of his disciples heard this, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" And Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? What if you should see the Son of Man ascending up to where he was before?" And then he adds, "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is completely useless. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life." So when Jesus was saying, "You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood in order to have eternal life," he was speaking spiritually. He was not speaking about his natural flesh and his natural blood. But they didn't understand that because they were carnally minded. They knew the scriptures. They knew that in Leviticus 17, God had strictly commanded his people, "You shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whoever eats or drinks blood," we would say, "shall be cut off." In other words, doomed forever. He says in 17:10, "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers or foreigners that sojourn among you, who eats any kind of blood," we would say drinks, but "who eats any kind of blood, I will set my face against that soul who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people." So of course these disciples of Jesus, being carnally minded, did not understand him when he said, "You must drink my blood." They kept thinking of these scriptures in Leviticus where God said, "If you drink any kind of blood, I will cut you off forever." And this shows us how true Paul's words are in Romans 8, where he said, "To be carnally minded is death." If we think of Jesus' words in a natural sense, we're likely to die. To be carnally minded is death, Paul said, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Jesus said, "The words that I'm speaking to you, they are spirit and they are life." Well, what is spiritual about telling people to eat your flesh and drink your blood? Well, let's see if we can figure this out. We have the revelation. We have what God said through Jesus, "You have to drink his blood." And we have what the revelation that God gave Moses,